都去看，我们想到来孤单的啦要买啊你是去了都来马吉巴巴的大街上沙拉米扎瑞里乌里亚拉维里杜米阿皮加拉巴瑞托马瑞来这样阿因努阿巴扎拉阿米比那万努阿拉给阿杰都马那是马路的鸡阿姨那妈妈们家拉住米马鸡巴卡鸡米诺卡布加布雷布雷亚西阿里那妈妈拉鲁玛吉亚吉亚哥吉亚哥哥拉强的波雷乌里亚口袋里的亚欧玛亚里萨吉拉哥Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.Chandanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Hulidas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Kadad Ha Shivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopatnath Sayama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mataradam Kijai Jagannathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani So we can add to Miranda Shag and Anjana Shlakia Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tazmai Shigurvenaha Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we'll continue with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this particular chapter, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is chapter 6 in the Majjhalila, deals with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and also deals with Lord Chaitanya, first of all, taking instruction from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but making believe he's taking instruction, and later on instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in what's called the Atma Rama verse. Atma Rama's child, Muniyo Nigranta Piyo Tambuta Gunahari. Anyway, so instructing him in this verse and getting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to accept pure devotional service as his life and soul. So we will continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita, oops, I lost my place here, wait a second. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. I inadvertently hit the wrong key, so we got to go up to text 55 here in this chapter. Just give me a second. All right. 1 second. Text 55, 52, 53, 54, 55. Okay. Here we go. Nadia Samande Sarva Marishta Kaila Rita Hanya Goshanira Kahita Kahite Lagila. Hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to the Nadia district, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very pleased and addressed the Lord as follows. Nadia, of course, is where Lord Chaitanya was brought up and also where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was brought up. Sahaje puja tumi arita sanyasa atayvahantumarahami nijadasa. You are naturally respectable. Besides, you are a sannyasi. Thus, I wish to become your personal servant. A sannyasi is always to be worshipped and offered all kinds of respects by the grahastas, householders. Although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma respected him as a sannyasi
and as one who had attained the topmost platform of spiritual ecstasy. Thus the Bhattacharya certainly accepted him as his master. So it's mentioned that the Brahmins are the spiritual masters of all the Varnas. Varna means Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And the Sannyasis are the spiritual masters of the Brahmanas. So the Sannyasi is naturally accepted as the spiritual master of all of society. Now, that's why Sannyasis are to be offered obeisances. And Prabhupada said, if you don't offer obeisances to a sannyasi upon first seeing him, then you have to fast the whole day. That's scary. Of course, if one has a spiritual master, that is initiating spiritual master or siksha guru, then one should generally offer obeisances whenever you see the person. So that's another subject matter. So, Shuni Mahaprabhu Kaila Sri Vishnu Smarana Bhattacharya Kahi Kichu Vinaya Vachana. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from the Bhattacharya, he immediately remembered Lord Vishnu, began to speak humbly to him as follows. And actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say when anyone offered obeisances to him, he would say, Dasosmi. That means, I am your servant. So that's a real sannyasi. A real sannyasi understands that he or she is a servant not only of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but of all the Supreme Personality of Godhead's parts and parcels, which means everybody. Tumi Jagat Guru Sarvalokahita Karta Vedanta Padao Sannyasira Upakarta. Because you are a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, you are the master of all the people in the world and their well-wisher as well. You are also the benefactor of all kinds of sannyasis. Because the Mayavadi sannyasis teach Vedanta philosophy to their students or disciples, they are customarily called Jagat Guru. This indicates that they are the benefactors of all people. Although Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not a sannyasi but a householder, he used to invite all the sannyasis to his home and offer them prasadam. Thus he was accepted as the best well-wisher and friend of all the sannyasis, because he fed them. So it's another interesting thing that sannyasis in the Mayavadis call each other Jagat Gurus, which means the guru of the whole universe, Jagat. And actually, practically speaking, as Prabhupada said, they don't even leave their village or they just stay within a small confined area. And that's one funny thing. Another funny thing is that Prabhupada named one of his sannyasis Jagat Guru at one point. Jagat Guru Maharaj. And then another thing is that Prabhupada named one of his sannyasis Brahmananda Maharaj. And then Prabhupada's godbrothers said, that's a Mayavadi name. But actually they didn't understand that one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates was Brahmananda Bharati. And a devotee is actually Brahmananda. He's getting ananda or bliss from Brahman, but not the impersonal Brahman, because one can't get bliss from the impersonal Brahman. One gets bliss from what? The Bhagavan aspect of the Supreme Personality of God, the personal aspect. You cannot get bliss from undifferentiated energy. All you can get is the sat aspect, the eternal aspect. The three aspects of the Supreme Absolute Truth are Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahman means the undifferentiated energy. Actually, it is differentiated, but for all intents and purposes, as you observe it, it's undifferentiated, but still it's composed of billions and trillions and quadrillions of jiva souls. Little fireflies, twinkle, twinkle, jiva soul, how I wonder what you are, up upon a star so bright, will you light my night tonight? Anyway, whatever. Anyway, so that's Brahman. And so with Brahman, all you can realize that everything's eternal, which is true, but it ain't blissful. because you can live eternally in a state of unconsciousness. And is that blissful? Well, maybe compared to being miserable in the world, yeah, maybe a little more blissful because you'll be relieved from all distress. But it ain't bliss. It's not positive bliss. And then the second aspect of the Absolute Truth is called Paramatma, the realization of God in the heart. And that's the chit potency, the knowledge potency, the cognitive potency. I know a lot of you out there have cognitive dissonance, so you haven't even reached the Paramatma realization yet. Cognitive dissonance means that you see something in this world and you don't believe it exists, or you don't see something in this world that does exist, or you see something in the world and you think it exists in a different way than it actually exists, or its nature is different from that actually it is. There's a lot of varieties of cognitive dissonance, a lot of conspiracy theories that are based on cognitive dissonance. Politics of the United States is full of cognitive dissonance. Anyway, so the second aspect of the Absolute Truth is the Paramatma, and realization of the Paramatma gives you cognition of the Absolute. But that's still not bliss. You know, you're aware of it. It's good. You know, you're happy. Well, I got some knowledge here, baby. But actually, you only get the bliss that's Ananda when you understand God as a person. Because then you could realize your nature, Jivara, Swarupa, Hoy, Krishna Das. Nitya Krishna Das, sorry. So your nature is what? To be loving and to have a loving exchange and a service-loving exchange with the Supreme Absolute Truth. And if you're not realizing your nature 100%, you will not be fully blissful. So anyway, so we're not interested in impersonal realization. We're not interested in Paramatma realization. We are interested in loving Krishna. Loving Krishna. Just think how nice it would be to be in the spiritual world and to be throwing colors, you know, holy, at Krishna or the coward boys, or whatever, you know, just throwing colors and having fun like that. That's fun. That's what they do in the spiritual world. Playing with cows, calves, seeing Krishna lift Govardhan Hill. Isn't that fun? Hearing Krishna playing a flute instead of some mundane trash music that you're interested in this world. Isn't that? Wouldn't that be fun? Let's go to a concert tonight. Who's playing? Krishna. He's playing a flute, and the gopis are playing the drums, and the esraj and the guitar. So, anyway. So, that's the point. Ami balaka sanyasi banda manda naki jani tamara shayani lun guru karimani. I'm a young sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya's being very humble, because he is a young sannyasi. At that point in his pastimes, he's only 24 years old. I mean, it's very young to take sannyas. Very dangerous. Prabhupada gave many young people sannyas, and they just didn't make it. I was quite old when I took sannyas, which is very good. I was an old man. I was 28 years old. And my past, the prime of life. And that's the best time. I know, anyway. And I'm happy I did it. It was blissful. As we say, as I said when I took sannyas, what was the mantra? Goodbye, cruel world. Another mantra was, can't get no satisfaction. So, anyway, I'm a young sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya is humble. And I have no knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Therefore, I'm taking shelter of you and accepting you as my spiritual master. Tumara sangha lagi mora ihanagamana savarpakare karibe Amaya Palana. I have come here only to associate with you, and I'm now taking shelter of you. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. Will you kindly maintain me in all respects? Now he's doing this to draw out of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the Mayavad philosophy. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is thinking that if he preaches to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about how miserable the material world is, which both we and the Mayavadis agree with, no doubt about it, he thinks that's enough to make someone renounce. Well, I tell you, I've tried so many times preaching to people, telling people how the material world is so renounced, and they still fall in love. It's unbelievable. How many times do I tell people you're not the body? And they just run here and there looking to feed the tongue. How many times do I tell people the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable? And they're still running here and there thinking, oh, Guru Maharaj is just a fanatic. And they're eating at 9 o'clock at night and wondering why they can't wake up in the morning. So, actually, I've seen the more I talk to people about how miserable the material world is, it becomes more interesting for people. That's the problem. I said, you know, you don't want this, you don't want that. Stay away from that. That lady is a Maya Devi. And then as soon as I say that that lady is a Maya Devi, they'll think, sounds interesting. Maybe I should introduce myself to her. Because as soon as it's called the forbidden fruit. Just like that story in the Bible. I think you all know that story in the Bible. Once upon a time, there was God. It's a biblical story. It's probably metaphorical, I understand. Once upon a time, there was God. You know, G-O-D. Krishna, you call him. Anyway. And God created a man. Man was all lonely. So God took some ribs out of the man's chest and created a lady so we'd have some companionship. And God told, they were in this Garden of Eden, and God told the man and the woman, there were no little babies at that point, he told the man and the woman, don't eat the apple from this particular tree. You can eat grapefruit, you can have quinoa, you can have mangoes, whatever you want to eat, but that particular type of apple from the knowledge apple, that means a duality. Actually, it's actually a good story, the duality of good and bad. Because actually when you're in Krishna consciousness, let's say if you're a pure devotee, then all the dualities of this world are inconsequential for you. So that's the point. So it's a good metaphorical story. So what happened is that there was a snake. Choo. And he said to the lady, you gotta eat the apple, it's interesting. Tastes good. You know, why would God want you not to eat this apple? You know, just go ahead. You know, he's hiding something from you. So what happened is that the lady enticed the man so that they would both eat the apples. So they took a bite. Delicious. That's why men have Adam's apple. Anyway, it's just another story. So they took a bite, and then who comes but the omniscient one, the Lord. And the Lord says, you guys are out of here. Because they had understood what was good and bad. They were innocent before. Even they were naked, they didn't even realize they were naked. And so you guys hit the road, Jack, or Adam, and don't you come back no more, no more. So they left the Garden of Eden. True story. And they were kicked out, and then they had to engage in so many materialistic activities. Yes, Paradise Lost. So the point is, yes, we left Krishna Loka. That's one way you can take it. But the reason I'm telling the story is that the forbidden fruit becomes more interesting, right? If you're forbidden, if I say to you, you can never go to Disneyland, you can't go to the beach. Confirmed. You can't go to the beach, you can't go to Disneyland. It's Maya. Then you think, whoo, sounds attractive. So that's the Mayavad philosophy. It's neti, neti, neti. You're not this, you're not this, you're not that. Can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. Just study Vedanta. And it's as boring as hell. So we have what's called the higher taste, rasa vrajam rasyopyasa haram drishtva divartate. We experience a higher pleasure. And so we're not interested. Like if someone asked me, do you want to go to the beach? I said, what for? It's 2.5 hours away, you know. I got better things to do with my life. Like reading, serving Krishna, playing my guitar and chanting Hare Krishna, you know. These are the things I enjoy. Helping devotees. You know, these are blissful things. I've been to the beach so many times when I was a kid. So many times I lied on the sand and got a suntan. So many times I went into the waves. So many times I went surfing. So many times I ate. So many times, whatever. Been there, seen it, done it. The way I get away from the madhouse is I get absorbed in Krishna's name. Yes. There is time we need to get away. So what do? Every day, I take a japa walk. I get in my little cheap car, and I drive my car to the nearby park, as long as the car starts. So anyway, I drive my car to the nearby park, and all by myself, without any other living entities around, adhyatmik, adhibodhik, and daivik, adhidaivik, without any other living entities around other than the trees who are my companions and the snakes, but at least none of them talk. And I turn off my phone, put my phone on mute, and I take a walk and I connect with Krishna's names. Yes. And that's what I do. Whenever there is some stress in life, due to whatever circumstance, I don't take material means to get rid of the stress. I don't take some pill. I don't go boxing. I don't play tennis. I chant the holy names of Krishna. And I get absorbed in the holy names of Krishna, I become so happy. And I forget about whatever problems there, and I come back and I deal with them with a clear mind later on. So every day, because we're all subjected to the different miseries of this world, the interactions of this world, adhyatmik, adhibodhik, adhidaivik, miseries from other living entities, miseries from our body and mind, miseries from the material energy in general. So every day we should have some time, private time with Krishna. One of the things that really impressed me with chanting Hare Krishna when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement was that I could always take my best friend with me and always take shelter of him wherever I was. So my consciousness became steady wherever I was. Was it an airplane? Just put my headset on and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the world disappears. Wherever I am, the world disappears every day for a certain amount of time, and then I come back with refreshed mind rather than, you know, just wasting the human form of life in some other activity. Anyway, so that message is for all of you. Yeah, every day we should take some time, get away, turn your phone off. It's very easy. You just put it on mute. And then later on you check. And everybody's saying, where are you? I'm dying. And you didn't answer your phone. Well, if you were dying and you died, apologize. What can I do? Okay, so let's go on. So, and even when I didn't have my cheap car to drive, which hardly starts sometimes, then I'd take a bicycle, or I would walk. You know, God gave you legs. God gave you hands. There's always a way you can extricate yourself from this world every day. If you're over-endeavoring, maybe not. You have to know your limits. Everybody has to know how much they can do, because as Krishna says, not Krishna, but as it says in the Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara Prayasascha Vajalpa Niyamagraha, that one of the activities that are detrimental to devotional service is over-endeavoring. Over-endeavoring means that you neglect your mental well-being, your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being in the name of doing something big. Know your limits. Okay. Let's continue. Ajiye hai la mara badahi vipati tahai te kai le tumi amara avyahati. The incident that happened today was a great obstacle for me, but you should have kindly relieved me of it. So Lord Chaitanya here is talking about the incident that happened when he went into the Jagannath temple and he saw Lord Jagannath and he fainted and basically lost consciousness and everyone thought he had left his body and the breathing was just very, very light. So he's just remembering that particular incident. And he says to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya very humbly, please relieve me of this difficulty or danger. Bhattacharya kahe ekale tumi na yaiha darshane amara sange abe kimba amara lokasane. The Bhattacharya replied, do not go alone to see the deity of the Jagannath temple. It is better that you go with me or my men. I'll protect you. Prabhu kahe mandira bitare na yaiva garudera pashe rahi darshana kariva. The Lord said, I shall never enter the temple but shall always view the Lord from the side of the Garuda Stambha. Garuda Stambha is like a pillar that has Garuda on the top. And Lord Chaitanya would always hold on to that pillar and watch the deities from that spot in a little distance from the deities. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was holding on to the pillar and looking at the deities, and an old lady climbed on his back and held on to the pillar and stood on Lord Chaitanya so she could better see the deities. And then Lord Chaitanya's servant chastised her. He said, what are you standing on Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya, what are you standing on him for? And Lord Chaitanya chastised his servant. He said, Adi, you're an Adivas. That means like a primitive person. Because this woman is so enthusiastic to see Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was admiring the lady's quality and not condemning the lady for stepping on him, because she was stepping on him out of extreme enthusiasm to serve and see Lord Jagannath. So, of course, we should not do that. But she was on a different platform than the rest of us. Gopinath charyake kahe sarvabhoma tumi goshani re lana Karaihadarashana. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then told Gopinathacharya, take Goswamiji and show him Lord Jagannath. Amara matri swasa griha nirjana stana tahan vasa deha kara sarva samadana. Also, the apartment belonging to my maternal aunt is in a very solitary place. Make all arrangements for him to stay there. Gopinatha Prabhu Landa Tahan Vasadila Jala Jala Patradika Sarva Samadana Taila. Thus Gopinathacharya took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his residential quarters and showed him where to find water, tubs, and water pots. Indeed, he arranged everything. Aradina Gopinatha Prabhu Stane Giha Sayotana Darashana Karaila Langa. The next day, Gopinathacharya took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the early rising of Lord Jagannath. Mukunda Datta Langa Haila Sarvaboma Stane Sarvaboma Kichunhanre Balila Vachane. Gopinathacharya then took Mukunda Datta with him and went to Sarvaboma's house. When they arrived, Sarvaboma addressed Mukunda Datta as follows. Prakriti vinita sanyasi dekite sundara amarabahu prithivare inharo para. The sannyasi is very meek and humble by nature, and his person is very beautiful to see. Consequently, my affection for him increases. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a very humble and meek person, because although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, he still retained his brahmachari name. The Lord took sannyas from Keshava Bharati in the Bharati Sampradaya, in which the brahmacharis, the assistants of the sannyasis, are named Chaitanya. Even after accepting sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retained the name Chaitanya, meaning a humble servant of a sannyasi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya appreciated this very much. So you'll see generally in the Gaudiya Math, when they give people sannyas, they'll put a bhakti in front of the name. Right? Like Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, generally it's very bhakti. And nowadays, most of the times when people take sannyas in ISKCON, they put a bhakti in front of the name and change the name. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Oh, Bhakti Charu Maharaj took sannyas before Prabhupada left the planet. And generally they'll do that, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. So that's the standard. But some of us kept our brahmachari name. I did, for example. My name before was Bayer Krishna Das. And when I took sannyas, I said to the person who gave me sannyas, do not change my name. My name was given to me by Prabhupada. I'm going to be humble. Don't make me a bhakti. So, anyway. So Lord Chaitanya did the same thing. And Surup Damodar Goswami did the same thing. There were traditional names for sannyasis. And Prabhupada really didn't follow that system as far as giving traditional names for sannyasis. Prabhupada really was just spontaneous in his activity because he is a Nitya Siddha, a Shaktivesh avatar, and he doesn't have to follow those particular details. They're just details. It's not that important. Konsampradaye sannyasa karyachena grahana Kivanama Inhara Shunateya Mana. From which sampradaya has he accepted the sannyas order? And what is his name? Gopinatha Kahe Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Inhara Keshava Bharati Mahadanya. Gopinathacharya replied, the Lord's name is Shri Krishna Chaitanya, and his sannyas preceptor is the greatly fortunate Keshava Bharati. So it was in the Bharati Sampradaya. Sarvabhauma kahe inhara nama sarvottama Bharati sampradaya inho hayena majjama. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Sri Krishna is a very good name, but he belongs to the Bharati community. Therefore, he is a second-class sannyasi. All this, like, ritualistic CRAP. This is going on to this day. Like we told the story about Sakshi Gopal, the two brahmanas. One brahmana was rich, or had a rich, was in a rich family. The other one was a poor family. And one couldn't marry the other one's daughter because he was in a different brahmana type of family. But this is bogus. It says that one should marry a lady, even if a lady is qualified, no matter what caste she's from. But people are so caste conscious, so much interested in reputation. Actually, the only reason, as I mentioned before, that we may be interested in reputation is because people listen to us if we have a good reputation, won't listen to us if we don't have a good reputation. But actually, apart from that, sometimes having a reputation is an impediment, or good reputation is an impediment in devotional service, like Madhavendra Puri. After Shirachara Gopinath stole the sweet rice for him, crowds gathered, and he left town. Why did he leave town? Because he didn't want that reputation. He didn't want fame. Generally, people in this world, they want what? Profit, adoration, distinction, which is subtle sex life. They want to be appreciated. Appreciated, appreciated, appropriated. Anyway, whatever. Gopinath gets upset with this. Gopinatha kahe inhara nahi mai apeksha ataiva bada sampradayera nahika apeksha. Gopinath Acharya replied, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not rely on any external formality. There is no need for him to accept the sannyasa order from a superior sampradaya. And Prabhupada explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas from the Bharati Sampradaya community, which belongs to the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya. I also mentioned to you before, to all of you before, that actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Vaishnava sannyas because he initiated his guru, Keshava Bharati, in a Vaishnava sannyas mantra right before Keshava Bharati gave the mantra to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whispered that mantra into the ear of his sannyas guru, saying, this is the mantra I heard in a dream from you. Is this the right mantra? And Keshava Bharati said, yep. And therefore, Keshava Bharati took initiation in sannyas, in Vaishnava sannyas, before Lord Chaitanya took initiation as a sannyasa. Okay, Shankaracharya introduced names for his sannyas disciples, and these are 10 in number. Of these surnames, Tirtha, like you have Bhakti Tirtha, Ashrama, and Saraswati are considered topmost. So, of course, we find these names in the Gaudiya Math and also in ISKCON, too. And like we have Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and of course there's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced this type of sannyas for preaching. Because otherwise, when the Vaishnavas took sannyas, like Rupa Goswami took sannyas, or Rupa took sannyas, he was Rupa Goswami. When Sanatan took sannyas, he was Sanatan Goswami. He didn't get one of these names, Tirtha, Ashram, or Saraswati. He kept his name. Remember that. But when one has to become more prominent in society and accepted, because the prominent type of sannyas given at that time is Mayavada sannyas, sometimes a Vaishnava sannyasi will accept these different names. Although there are also Krishna conscious names too. There's nothing wrong with them. But sometimes a Vaishnava, like our Vaishnava type of sannyas, in ISKCON is following the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and actually he learned about this or copied the type of sannyas in the Ramakrishna Mission, one number one, and also in South India in Sri Rangam. He went to Sri Rangam. So he wanted to see what was best for preaching. What type of dress is best for preaching? Really interesting. That was his thought. How to spread Krishna consciousness. The dress wasn't the thing. The dress wasn't the principle. The dress was an adjustable detail so that Krishna consciousness could be spread. And in his time, and in our time, having saffron dress with a danda or tree danda and being called Maharaj. I mean, just like in Rupa Goswami's time, you didn't hear them call Rupa Goswami Maharaj or Maharaj Rupa. No. But this Maharaj title is there to help us preach. That's why. You know, sometimes the sannyasis will get upset if you call them Prabhu. But Prabhu means master. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Unless you're a lady, then you have to call the person Prabhi, which is the feminine. Okay, so Prabhu, Prabhi. That means master. Nothing wrong with, well, I mean, you shouldn't think of yourself as a master. So in other words, we dress in such a way as to maximize our spreading Krishna consciousness and our own Krishna consciousness too. If I thought that it would help me spread Krishna consciousness more, I would dress in polka dots. Polka dots. I would dress in a polka dot dhoti. Whatever is best. And that was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's methodology. Even though a sannyasi was forbidden to ride in a car, he rode in a Rolls Royce. And he rode that Rolls Royce all the way up to Radhakund and shocked the bejesus out of the Babaji's there. So let me continue. I'll try to finish this paragraph. In the monastery at Sringeri, the surname Saraswati is considered first class, Bharati second class, and Puri third class. And sannyasi, who has very nicely understood the slogan Tatwamasi. Yes, I've seen Mahavishnu Swami dresses for preaching. He's gotten criticized, but he's all over the place. He gets many people to chant and made many nice devotees in our movement. So he's understood. Utility is the principle. I've actually protected him many times. How have I protected him? Not with a gun. I protected him because you have some of our sannyasis and gurus and GBCs who get on his case and want to throw him out. And so I make a mediation. Myself and Kavi Chandra Maharaj meet with him personally and just mediate between him and the GBC. And like my godbrother, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who would dress up as an African prince sometime. And he was so successful. He was preaching to members of the United Nations, a place in Chicago. Not Chicago, so Washington, D.C., sorry. In Washington, D.C., he would go to Africa and be honored as a prince, practically be given a crown, and people criticized him. And then he had this cane with a lion head on him, on it, not him, but on the cane, and people criticized him for that. Actually, the funny thing is, I was talking about this the other day in the evening class, you know, this particular time in class, and then I just got notified by one of my disciples, he just ordered me a cane with a lion head on it. I don't know. Anyway, I guess I'll have to become more bold in Krishna consciousness. So this is the point. We dress in such a way to get people to chant, follow the four regular principles, take prasadam, and be happy. And whatever is required to do that. We're not so much concerned, you know, people may criticize us. But we have to have compassion. That's the point. Save the poor fallen souls. Prabhupada crossed the ocean, which is against the dharma of the sannyasi. Prabhupada, of course, rode in cars. Prabhupada lived with model leches. Prabhupada did so many things. Prabhupada, even as a sannyasi, taught women how to wear saris. I've never done that, nor will I ever do that. Because I don't even know how to wear a sari. But so anyway, so that's the point. Okay, let me finish this, because it's, we're late. Bharti second, Puri third. A sannyasi was nicely understood, the slogan Tatwamasi, that's a Mayavad slogan. And who takes bath at the confluence of the river Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati is called a Tirtha, a person who is very eager to accept sannyas, who is detached from worldly activities and who has no desire for any kind of material facilities, and who is thus saved from repeated birth and death, is known as ashrama. When a sannyasi lives in a beautiful solitary place in the forest and is freed from all material desires, he is called vana. That means a forest, like Vrindavana. A sannyasi always lives in the forest and renounces all connection with the world in order to be elevated to the heavenly planets where he can live in the Nandanakana is called Aranya, that means the forest. One who prefers living in the mountains, engaged in the study of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and whose intelligence is fixed is called Giri, that means mountains. A Giri Govardhan. One who prefers living in great mountains, even among ferocious animals, to attain the summit of philosophical speculation, understanding that the essence of this material world is useless is called Parvata, that means mountain. A sannyasi was dipped in the ocean, I gotta continue reading this because it's so interesting, of absolute truth and collected some valuable stones and knowledge from that ocean, who never falls from the regulated principles of sannyas, is called Sagara, it means ocean. One who has learned the classical art of music, who engages in its culture and has become expert and completely aloof from material attachments, is called Saraswati. Saraswati is the goddess of music and learning. And in one hand, she holds a musical instrument called a veena. A sannyasi who is always engaged in music for spiritual elevation is called Saraswati. I guess I should change my name. One who has become completely educated and freed from all kinds of ignorance and who is never unhappy, even in distressed conditions, is called Bharati. One who has become very expert in absolute knowledge, who is situated in the absolute truth and has always discussed the absolute truth, is called Puri. Always a long purport. I don't think we're going to finish it. We will finish it. Hold on a second. Just be a little short with the questions and answers. All these sannyasis are assisted by brahmacharis who are described as follows. One who knows his real identity and is fixed in his particular occupational duty, who is always happy in spiritual understanding, is called Swarupa Brahmachari, like Swarupa Damodar Goswami. Swarupa. He knows his form. He knows who he is. One who completely knows the Brahman effulgence and is always engaged in the practice of yoga is called Prakasha Brahmachari. He's the light Brahmachari. Oh my God. One who has acquired, this is actually really interesting. One who has acquired absolute knowledge and always meditates on the absolute truth, knowledge, the unlimited, and the Brahman effulgence, thus keeping himself in transcendental bliss, is called Ananda Brahmachari. That means bliss Brahmachari. These names are so interesting. I should start giving them to people. One who is able to distinguish between matter and spirit, who is never disturbed by material transformations, and who meditates on the unlimited, inexhaustible, auspicious Brahman effulgence, is a first-class learned brahmachari, and is called Chaitanya. Wow. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was talking with Gopinathacharya about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas community, he appreciated the first name, Sri Krishna, but did not like the surname Chaitanya, which is the name for a brahmachari belonging to the Bharati community. He therefore suggested that the Lord be elevated to the Saraswati community. However, Gopinathacharya pointed out that the Lord does not depend on any external formality. Gopinathacharya was firmly convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself and therefore independent of any external ritual formality. If one wants to engage in pure devotional service, he does not require titula superiority as a Bharati or a Saraswati. In other words, he wanted to sort of give him the mantra again and rename him as a sannyasi. As a grahasta, he couldn't really give him sannyas, but he could redo the formalities, because he was already a sannyasi, to bring him up to what he considered to be a higher platform of sannyas. Okay. Which is actually quite a humorous discussion today. So today we did 55 to 73 in this chapter. Let's take some questionitos. Hold on 1 second. Actually, I should show a picture of Mahavishnu Swami, how he dresses. Let me just see if I can do this. Well, one of you is asking a question. Let's go mute. Allow participants to unmute yourselves. Okay, so who has a questionito?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, is that Radha Padma?
Yes, Gurudev. Please accept my humble obeisances, Gurudev. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. In text number 63, I shall never enter the temple, the Lord said. Is there a reason behind saying this, that, or because he got unconscious when he went to the temple and he doesn't want to repeat it?
Yes, he doesn't want to repeat it. He actually doesn't want to repeat that, what happened, because, you know, but he does enter the temple again, but he's very cautious, that's all. But he does enter the temple again. All right? Okay, go ahead.
There was never a time when he, like, this wasn't a vow that he kept, that he needed to keep, that I shall never enter.
No, he didn't actually make it as a serious vow. He just said it to pacify Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So let me share the screen now so I can show you Mahavishnu. This is how... Can everybody see? Can everybody see this? Yes? No?
Yes.
This is his standard sannyas dress for Harinam. I mean, it gets a little weird if you can see the rest of his body. But he has all sorts of things. See, there's like Changing Bodies exhibit on there, some Prabhupada's books, Lord Jagannath, and, of course, big, big Jagannath sticker there on the hat. It's actually quite interesting. I wonder if we can find some more interesting pictures of him. So...
You got to show his shoes and his accordion.
Oh, yeah, let me see if I could show that. So you'll see that, and he is very successful. In the Western world, he's one of our most successful preachers, which is really interesting. Although he has to take heat from his godbrothers, and, you know, all over the internet, you're going to read criticism of Mahavishnu Swami. Let's see if I... But he leaves Kirtan, he stays out, so that... So this is sort of the criticism he gets. This is actually really funny. This is the sort of stuff he gets all the time. Let's see if I can... Yeah, let me share this screen. And so one has to be aloof from criticism and just follow their conscience, such... You know, of course, one should not do anything against the regulative principles. But changing one's dress or playing a guitar, like I do sometimes, and people get really upset, is not against the regulated principles. Here's the picture. Hold on a second. This is really heavy criticism of them. There's an old magazine called Mad Magazine, which is a crazy magazine, and they put him on the cover of it. They didn't put him on the cover. Some devotees, in order to criticize him, didn't understand his intention in spreading Krishna consciousness. So that's the point. Sometimes you get criticized. Prabhupada, yes, he has lights on his hat too. And so, like, Prabhupada got criticized by his godbrothers, but look how successful he was. So the point is, one has to do what pleases Krishna. And what pleases Krishna the most? Bringing people to his lotus feet. And not offending devotees. Of course, Mahavishnu does not offend devotees at all. Even those who criticize him, he's very sweet to. He's actually a really, really, really good Vaishnava, although he's eccentric in his behavior. But he's very strict in his sadhana. He's very attached to the holy names. He'll do Harinam Sankirtan. for longer than anyone else, and he brings so many people to Krishna consciousness. So this is a perfect example. And if we actually stick to what we think externally is Krishna consciousness, like the external details, we may never be successful in bringing people, especially in the Western world or anywhere where the whole world is becoming Westernized. We may never be successful in carrying out Srila Prabhupada's purpose and his mission, which is to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. Prabhupada wanted to change all of society, not just have a few people, dysfunctional people in the ashram, but he wanted to change society, and that's Prabhupada's mission. Okay.
Gurudev,
who has another question? What's that?
Gurudev, there's an old saying that if you don't want anyone to criticize you, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Of course, we don't go out of our way to be criticized, but we understand the principles of Krishna consciousness. We never deviate from those principles. Sadhana, waking up early, chanting our rounds, avoiding bad association, taking prasadam, reading and studying Bhagavat and the other literatures. But other things are external. You know, why dwell on things that are actually going to drive people away from Krishna consciousness or not attract people to Krishna consciousness? I mean, for example, in my own preaching, of course, here I am wearing a dhoti, but I've tried different styles of dress. Like in our university preaching, we have the devotees dress in Western clothes, but I go like this. I tried in the beginning dressing in Western clothes, but people did not say listen to me as much, because there's an expectation of a sannyasi that a sannyasi or a guru should dress a little bit differently, not just show up at a preaching program in cutoffs. Blue jeans that are cut off. So, you know, I dress like this, I do shave my head, I wear the tilak, neck beads. Nobody's ever criticized me for that. But for the devotees in general, at our Western preaching programs, they dress in Western clothes. Notice I'm not saying karmi clothes, because clothes are neither karmi nor devotional. I mean, Ravana might have worn a dhoti for all I know. Right? Robin had tilak, but he had the other type of tilak, three lines on his forehead. But still, you know, the clothes don't make a man, don't make a woman. It's the consciousness inside. And we should become like touchstones in presenting Krishna consciousness by being pure ourselves, having very good sadhana. Sadhana is essential. It means rising early, chanting your rounds nicely with great attention, hearing the Bhagavatam every day, worshipping Tulsi Devi, associating with the devotees, eating prasadam, living in a holy place. I mean, these are essential items. And then you'll become like a touchstone that anybody comes in touch with you, not anybody, but people a little submissive, they'll be attracted to Krishna consciousness. So that's really what we're supposed to do. And then we adjust the externals so people feel comfortable with us. So time for one other question. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. No?
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, Rakesh. So what's up?
The question is regarding what does it mean being Aryan? Because King Purushottama of Orissa, when he went to Vidyanagar, and he was a great devotee, took the Gopalji to Kataka, but so it was said that he's an Aryan. So what does it mean by Aryan?
Aryan means, Prabhupada defined, is one who knows the higher values of life. Some people take it as a racial designation, like Hitler did. But really, Aryan means one who knows the high. Prabhupada defined as one who knows the higher values of life. And, you know, Krishna conscious person, one who knows spiritual life, one who is dharmic. That's what an Aryan is. Not one who is a member of a particular, has blue hair, blonde hair and blue eyes, as Hitler said. Hitler did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. Hitler was more Semitic. So actually, he was the opposite of what he thought Aryan was. So yes, that's important. Okay, we're going to end now. It's time, and we'll see everybody tomorrow evening, tomorrow morning, depending on where you are. Thank you all for joining us. I'm very encouraged to see everybody. And today we touched upon some very important topics as we were discussing Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. Okay, thank you. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premananda. Hari 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 Go.